Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Mem. We're holding on daf Lamed Tesen Beis. We are at Vahabain Rabbi Gamliel, about 5 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by the Cohn, Gordon, and Steinmetz families in memory of Rabbi Howard Joseph, Harav Chaim Shmuel Ben Zev, Zichrona Levracha. Apparently I said Ben Zvi yesterday, it's Ben Zev, Zichrona Levracha. Rabbi Joseph was a musmach of Rav Soloveitchik and Rabbi Dr. Belkin, and was a pillar of the modern Orthodox community in Montreal, where he served as the Rav of the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue, the oldest synagogue in Canada, for over 50 years. In Shemesh Shavn Aliyah, I could just add that his son Josh is also a tremendous Eved for Klal Yisrael, a tremendous person who works for the Tzibor for decades already and does wonderful work, and the family Shrav E Nechama. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. We are holding again in Daf Lamed Tesen Beis, about 5 lines before the end of the page, and today we're going to discuss whether we look at the Shas Chanata or the Shas Nitiya or the Shas Lakita rather, when it comes to determining various halachos, meaning how do I determine what year this fruit is from, this esrog is from, or even this lulav is from. Do I look at the Chanata or do I look at the Lakita? So we started to discuss that topic yesterday. We're going to continue that discussion today. Then the Gemara is going to discuss which items are excluded from Shemitah. So, and we're going to discuss the possibility that anything that's not Hana'asa Ubi'uro Shava, that as you benefit from it, it gets ruined, it gets destroyed. As you benefit from it, that we might not have Kedushas Shavias. It might be excluded from Kedushas Shavias. And the Gemara is going to discuss also how Shemitah Kedushas Shavias is Chal on money, and then it continues to be Chal on things that you exchange for the money, even though it's removed from the initial item that it's exchanged for. So if you have Shemitah produce and you exchange that for money, and then the money you use that money to buy something else, so that something else will now have Kedusha Shvias, and the money will lose its Kedusha Shvias. And the Gemara is going to discuss what the ramifications of doing business with Shemitah is, that there's going to be one Shita that says that a person is going to end up having to sell everything that he owns if he ends up doing business with Kedushas Shvias. So let's begin Daf Lamed Tesen Beis. Again, the last thing we said yesterday was that the when it comes to an esrog, we look at the Shas Lakita and not the Shas Chanata. So the Gemara is going to question which Tana holds that way, that when it comes to the esrog, we look at when the esrog was picked to determine whether it's a Shemitah esrog or not. Because remember, we were discussing yesterday that we have a case where the esrog has Kedusha Shvias, but the lulav does not. So we said, well, how could that be? If the esrog has Kedusha Shvias, the lulav has Kedusha Shvias as well. So he said, no, the case of the esrog having Kedusha Shvias is that the esrog was from the seventh year, that it was picked in the seventh year, and such a lulav that was picked in the seventh year would not have Kedusha Shvias, because it would be considered a lulav of the sixth year, since the Chanata happened in the sixth year. So the clear assumption is that the esrog does have Kedusha Shvias based on the Shas Lakita and not based on the Shas Chanata. So a little bit of background to understand the brisa that we're going to use to question this is that the Torah tells us that the first 3 years after you plant a tree, all the fruit is going to be usher. It's called Urla, and therefore it's going to be usher Bahana. The fourth year, the fruit has a din of Revai. Revai is not usher Bahana. Revai is treated like Ma'aser Sheni. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Also, the Torah tells us that one has to be mafer Shumas or Maestros from Peros that grow in Eretz Yisrael, and among the Maestros they have to be mafresh is Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani, but they're not on the same years. The meaning Maaser Rishon is every year, Truma Gedola is every year. However, the mitzvah to be mafresh Maaser Sheni is only in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of a Shemitah cycle. The mitzvah to be mafresh Maaser Ani is in the third and sixth years of the Shemitah cycle. So it's going to be very important to know what year any particular produce is from if you want to know what to do with it, if you want to know whether it has Kedusha Shvias, and also if you want to know whether you should be mafrish meiser sheni and just bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there, or be mafrish meiser ani and give it to an ani. So says the Gemara. V'habein Rabbi Gamliel bein Rabbi Eliezer, both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, who happen to disagree as far as the chi of meiser on an esrog, as far as what year the esrog is considered to be from when it comes to meiser the inyan shviyas esrog basachanata azlina. When it comes to determining whether it's a shemitah esrog, they both agree that you look at the time of the chanata of the esrog and not the lakita of the esrog. So if the chanata happened in the sixth year, it does not have kedusha shviyas, even though you first picked it off the tree during the shemitah year. Ditnan, because the Mishnah tells us esrog shavali ilan b'shlosh drachim liyarek b'derech echad, that an esrog has similar dinim to a tree in three halachos, and it's similar to a vegetable in one halacha. So what does that mean? Which three halachas is it similar to a tree? Which one halacha is it similar to a yarek? Shavali ilan b'shlosh drachim. The three halachas that it's similar to a tree are as follows: la orla, l'ravai, l'shvius. As far as orla is concerned, that it has dinim of orla and dinim of ravai like any other tree, meaning only trees have dinim of orla and ravai. So the very fact that orla and ravai are noheg on an esrog means that an esrog is like a tree, and it's domet to an ilan as far as shvius. Now every bit of produce has dinim of shvius, but when we say it's similar to a tree as far as shvius, it means which year is considered the shemitah year, that we look at the shemitah based on the chanata. So if the chanata happened in the sixth year, even though it finished growing in the seventh year, it is not a shemitah esrog. But it's an esrog is considered similar to a yarek in one important way, shebishas lekitaso isuro, that when it comes to whether it's a meiser ani or a meiser sheni year, then we look at the shas lekita. We do not look at the shas chanata, that if it's picked in the third year, it's chayiv in meiser ani, even though the chanata was in the second year. So that's true of a yarek, and that's true of an esrog as well, that if it's picked in the third year, it's chayiv in meiser ani, even though the chanata was in the second year. Now, the reason why an esrog is like a yarek, as far as this din is concerned, and is not the same as a tree, like it is by as far as all the other dinim are concerned, is because the reason we follow the lakita by a yarek is because the pasuk says ba'aspecha migarnecha umiyikvecha. So the chachamim darshin in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yudalit, that just like a gorin and yekev are miyucha, that they're gadol on legisham, they grow on the rainwater of the previous year, and you take the meiser for the previous year based on the zman chanata. So too, anything that's gadol al mei geshamim of the previous year, your misaser based on the chanata, which is the previous year. But yirakos are gadol al kol mayim. Yirakos grow on all water, meaning you need to water yirakos with mayim she'uvim as well. If you have a vegetable garden in your backyard, you have to attend to it. You can't just rely on the rainwater to take care of it. You have to make sure that you water it as well. So therefore, it does not have a din of an ilan, and you did not follow the chanata of the previous year. You follow the lakita. So an esrog is unique among trees in that it also needs tending to. It also needs to be watered with other mayim other than the rainwater. And therefore, by an esrog in determining its meiser sheni, meiser ani year, you look at the lakita. So the divrei Rabbi Gamliel. That's Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. But Rabbi Eliezer Amar esrog shavliyon lekol davar. Rabbi Eliezer has a much less complicated opinion. An esrog looks like a tree, it smells like a tree, tastes like it, right? An esrog is a tree. If it looks like a tree, it's a tree. It's a tree for all halachos. But bottom line is that both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that although they disagree as far as how to determine which year the esrog is from when it comes to Meiser Sheni and Meiser Ani, they're in total agreement as far as how to determine which year it's from as far as Shemitah is concerned. So L'chol HaDeos, we look at the Chanata and not the Lakita as far as Shemitah is concerned. So that's difficult because the Gemara said that in Esrog that our Mishnah was talking about had Kedusha Shviyas because you look at the Shas Lakita, and that's against the Braisa. The Braisa has both opinions saying you look at the Shas Chanata and not the Shas Lakita. So who could the author of our Mishnah be? If it's not Rabbi Gamliel, it's not Rabbi Elazar, we don't have any Tana on record saying that you take a look at the Shas Lakita like our Mishnah said. So says Gemara, Huda Amar Kiyai Tana. No, it could be the Tana of our Mishnah holds like the Tana in the Hemshech of the Braisa. The Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Avtulmus Hayin Mishum Chamisha Zakenim. Avtulmus was made in the name of Chamisha Zakenim. That Esrog Acha Lakita the Meiser. That when it comes to an Esrog, you look at the Lakita as far as Meiser is concerned. Rabbi Yossi, Seinu Nimru Beusha Va'amru, and the Rabbanim voted in Usha, and they said, Bein L'Maiser, Bein L'Shviyas, that you look at the Shas L'Kita, not only for Maiser, but also as far as Shviyas is concerned. So it says, Shviyas, Man Dekar Shmei. No one said anything about Shviyas. What did the Rabbi Seinu vote on that no one even brought up the conversation? So it says, the Bryce is missing a line. It should read as follows. That when it comes to determining what year an Esrog is from, so if you're interested in determining what year it's from as far as Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani is concerned, so then you look at the Lakita. If you're interested in determining as far as whether it's a Shemitah Esrog, you look at what year the Chanata happened. And then Rabbi Seinu Nimnu B'Usha V'Amru, that Esrog Basa Lakita Bein L'Maaser Bein L'Shviz. But the Rabbanim got together in Usha and they outvoted that opinion. And they said, no, even when it comes to Shemitah, you look at the Shas Lakita. So the Rabbi Seinu Shebu Usha you look at the Lakita, you look at when you pick it off the tree, even as far as Shemitah is concerned. The Tana, our Mishnah, therefore holds, like the Rabbi Seinu in Usha, and it seemed like it was taken to a vote, and the Rabbi Seinu won the vote. So the Tana of our Mishnah is following, in fact, the majority opinion. So by Lulav, that doesn't have Kedusha Shviyas because it was Chanat B'Shviyas. Nevertheless, even though a Lulav, we would look at the Chanata by an Esrog, the Tana of our Mishnah holds, we look at the Lakita. So that's why our Mishnah is talking about a Lulav that does not have Kedusha Shviyas, that's together with an Esrog that does have Kedusha Shviyas, because it was the same year. And if the Chanata happened in the 6th year and the Lakita happened in the 7th year, the Esrog will have Kedusha Shviyas and the Lulav will not have Kedusha Shviyas. Good, so that's as far as Lakita and Chanata is concerned, as far as what has Kedusha Shviyas, what does not. Now the Gemara takes a step back and says, well, wait a second. We're assuming that the reason the Lulav does not have Kedusha Shviyas is because the Chanata happened in the 6th year. But if you were to find the Lulav, if you were to take a lulav the following year, you were to find the lulav where the lakita happened in where the chanata happened in the 7th year, right? Then the lulav would have kedusha shviyas. Meaning, it's only because the chanata happened in the 6th year that it doesn't have kedusha shviyas. But lulavim in general are subject to kedusha shviyas. So it says, well, is that really true? Should a lulav be subject to kedusha shviyas? So meaning we had no the taima says the Gemara makes a the only reason that we said that the lulav did not have kedusha shviyas is because the chanata happened in the 6th year, but hadashviyas, it sounds like if the chanata happened in the 7th year, kadosh, then the lulav would be kadosh, and you should not be able to buy it from an amar. It's the same issue should arise. But amai, why should the lulav have kedusha shviyas? Eitzim bialmahu, lulav is a piece of wood. Veitzim ein v'mishum kedusha shviyas. In general, wood does not have kedusha shviyas. So Titania, alei kanim va'alei gefanim shegivivon l'chuba. If a person takes branches of kanim and gefanim and he gathers them together to protect them somewhere, al pnei asode. So if his purpose in gathering together is l'katan la'achila, to feed them to his animals, so yesh ben mishum kedusha shviyas. Then they have kedusha shviyas. But liktan le'etzim, if he wants to use them for firewood, ein ben mishum kedusha shviyas. Then they don't have kedusha shviyas. So lulav, no animals eating a lulav. So it's not Michael at all. It's not Michael Adam. It's not Michael Behema. So the only use that a lulav has, l'chora, is firewood. So it shouldn't have any kedusha shviyas. So why does the Mishnah have to say that we're talking about a lulav that the chanata happened during the 6th year? Even if the lulav, the chanata happened during the 7th year, it shouldn't have kedusha shviyas. It shouldn't be subject to kedusha shviyas. So this is Gemara. No, shiny hasam. When it comes to firewood, the pasuk says, so from the word lachem, we learn that perushviyas are mutter even bahana'a. So from the fact that it says lachem liachla, it juxtaposes those two words together, so we learn that you can't get any sort of hana'a you wish from Shemitah produce. Meaning, Shemitah produce is not something that we have to avoid. You're allowed to benefit from Shemitah produce. If you have something that has kedusha shviyas, you can eat it, you could drink it, you could enjoy it, but there are limits on how to enjoy it. There are limits on what kind of hana'a is mutter. So we darshan from the juxtaposition of lachem and liachla, that lachem dumya de liachla, that your hana'a, your lachem that you get from it, your hana'a that you get from it, has to be a hana'a that's similar to the hana'a one gets while eating. Misha nasu birushava, which means that just like when you're benefiting from eating something, you're destroying as you're benefiting from it, meaning you eat an apple, apple, the apple's getting destroyed as you're eating from it, as you're enjoying it. So too, the hana'a that you get from Kedusha Shvius, from Peros that have Kedusha Shvius, has to be the kind of hana'a where the pre gets used up as you're benefiting from it. Like achila, shtia, sicha, hadlakas haner, right? When you light a candle, you're benefiting from the light and it's burning the oil all at the same time. So from that drasha, we also learn that that's not only a rule as far as what kind of hana'a you're allowed to get from it, but that also teaches us what kinds of items have kedusha shviyas. That only those items where that would be the kind of hana'a you would get from it, where that would be the normal way to benefit from it, where the normal way to benefit from it is hanasu birushava, only such items have kedusha shviyas to begin with. So it not only teaches us this juxtaposition of lechem liachla, not only teaches us that the only way you're allowed to benefit from shmita produce is by benefiting in a way that's using it up as you're enjoying it, but it also teaches us that the only produce that's subject to kedusha shviyas is that produce that's normal to benefit as you're using it up. So yatsu eitzim that hanas and achar biuran, as opposed to firewood, where typically the way it works is after you burn it, then you use the coals to cook on or whatever you want to benefit from. But by a lulav is different. A lulav is not its primary use was not for firewood. A lulav's primary use was as a broom, and as a broom, it does get used up as you're benefiting from it, because every usage of the broom ruins it a little bit, and that's why brooms get old and eventually need to be thrown out. So every usage, you're ruining it a little bit. So as you get getting hanav from it, so in that sense, a lulav is similar to a fruit. It's similar to achila, that its main hana'a is hanasu birushava, and that's why a lulav has kedusha shviyas. So again, the Gemara's question is, why does a lulav have kedusha shviyas? A lulav is just a piece of wood. So the Gemara's answer is that the reason wood does not have kedusha shviyas is because typically you only benefit from the wood first, and you only benefit from the wood after you've already destroyed it. Whereas when it comes to a lulav, you benefit from it as you're destroying it, and therefore it does have kedusha shviyas. Ask the Gemara, Vayika, Eitzim de Mishchan. You know, not all wood you burn first and then benefit from. There are certain woods that have oil in them that they would light and use as like a torch, as to light up, to light up your path. So in such a case, you're destroying it and benefiting from it at the same time. Because as you're being madlik, you're benefiting from it. So if you're going to use such wood for such purposes, should it now have kedusha shviyas? Rava says stametim, we assume, are meant to be used lahasaka, to burn, and not to light up your path. And even etim demashcha, now not omid lahalaka, they're omid lahasaka. They're not really meant to be used primarily as a torch. They're meant primarily to be used to make coals out of, and therefore they don't have kedusha shviyas. But a broom is still an exception to that rule. So ve'itzim la'saka tanayim, he says, the idea that stam etzim are la'saka, there's a machlokas tanayim if etzim that you use will have kedusha shviyas or not. Because some hold that this whole rule is not true, that the idea of hanaso birushava is necessary in order to have kedusha shviyas. There are some that hold that that's not true, that even etzim that you're only going to use la'saka, that you're only going to have after the biur, meaning there's some tanaim that reject this entire rule, that will hold even such etzim have kedusha shviyas. The Tanya, ein mosrim peru shviyas lo lemishra v'lo lekvusa. Rabbi Yossi Amar Mosrin, that you're not allowed to use peru shviyas to soak flax in, nor to use as a detergent for laundry, because when you're soaking the flax, it's already destroying the peros, but the hana is only when you put on the clothing afterwards. So it's not hanaso birushava. So that's why it's an improper usage. Let's say we're talking now about wine. Let's say you have wine that clearly is meant primarily l'shtia, so it definitely has kedusha shviyas. But remember, we said those things that have kedusha shviyas, you're only allowed to get hana from it when it's hanaso birushava. So that's why the first time over here, here is saying, Tanakama is saying, that you're not allowed to use that which has Kedusha Shvius for laundry and for things of that nature, where the Hano will only come after the Biur. But Rabbi Yossi says, Masrin, yeah, you could use it in that way, that there's no such limitation on the Hana'a. So remember, because we said there are two dinim about Hana'a, so Birushav. Number one is determining what you're allowed to, what kinds of Hana'a or Mutter when something has Kedusha Shvius. And then the second din we said was that it also, whether it's normally used in Hanaso Birushav, it determines whether Peros have Kedusha Shvius in the first place. So now we're focused on that first din, whether it does, when you know that something has Kedusha Shvius, what kind of Hana'a can you get from it? So we're saying this is Machlokas Tanaim, whether you need Hanaso Birushava or you don't require Hanaso Birushava. Just to take a moment, the Gemara said very clearly that the reason we assume that a lulav has Kedusha Shvius is because it's Hana'aso Ubi Uroshava, that as you use a lulav to sweep your house, since that's the primary use of a lulav, what else does anyone use a lulav for other than to sweep their home? Since that's the primary use of a lulav, that's considered Hana'aso Ubi Uroshava, and therefore it has Kedusha Shvius. So the contemporary post can discuss, and nowadays, would a lulav still have Kedusha Shvius? Does anyone use it? Have you ever been to someone's home and you see them sweeping their floor and you walk in and you catch them using their lulavim to sweep their floor? No one uses a lulav to sweep their floor. Baruch Hashem, we have much more effective brooms that you can buy in a store for pretty cheap, and no one uses a lulavim anymore to sweep their floors. So the Mishnas Yosef discusses whether lulavim should still have Kedusha Shvius or not. So he points out that Rav Vosner writes in Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Beis in Kuf Tzadites that Kedusha Shvius is still nogeya to orange peels, because they're ra'ui l'maichel behema, because animals will eat orange peels, even though people typically don't, although some people do. People typically don't eat orange. I've seen, I think, in the past, chocolate-covered orange peels, some way to, make it more palatable. They say it's very healthy, but people typically don't eat orange peels, but animals eat orange peels, and therefore orange peels have a din of Kedusha Shvius, even though nowadays most people throw it in the garbage. But since it's still rotly the Meichel Behema, it doesn't lose its Kedusha Shvius, says the Rav Vosner in the Shevet HaLevi, meaning because it was once used as Meichel Behema, and animals won't complain if you give it to them, they would still eat it. It just happens to be we have other Meichel Behema, so we throw out the orange peels, we no longer use it as Meichel Behema, so it still has Kedusha Shvius. That is against the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish writes in Shvius Simen Yudalid that the orange peels no longer have Kedusha Shvius, even though they're rotwe the behema, because no one actually uses them to feed the behema, and therefore you have to look at the way something is actually used, bisman hazeh. So the Chazon Ish writes that if you have a lulav bisman hazeh, no one uses it to sweep their home, it would only be used the hasaka, and therefore it would not have any Kedusha Shvius. But according to Rav Vosner, according to the Shevet HaLevi, maybe a lulav does have Kedusha Shvius bisman hazeh, because it's still viable to be used to sweep the home. So the Charu would be subject to this machlokas between the Chazon Ish and Rav Vosner. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simen Nun Aleph says it's not subject, lulavim are not subject to any machlokas. That even those who want to be as machmir as Rav Vosner wants to be and say that orange peels have Kedusha Shvius because it's still ra'ui l'maichel behema, it just happens to be we don't feed it to an animal. Says that's only when you have something that's a meichel. When you have something that's a meichel, something that's a food, and it's still viable as a food, it just happens to be that we don't eat it or we don't feed it to animals anymore, that's where Rav Vosner would insist that it retains its Kedusha Shvius, that it doesn't lose its Kedusha Shvius. But something that's not viable as a meichel and never was viable as a meichel, it's just Hanaso Birushava because it's used as a broom or some other benefit, but it's not a meichel, well then if that's some other benefit, that's some other usage that was used for is no longer what it's used for, then it would lose its Kedusha Shvius. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, l'kule alma nowadays, a lulav does not have Kedusha Shvius. So it would be quite a chumrah to assume that a lulav nowadays would have Kedusha Shvius. So we generally concern ourselves with Kedusha Shvius of an esrog and are far less concerned with Kedusha Shvius of a of a lulav. Even though it would not be the same year, as the Mishnah pointed out, it would be one year after the other, we would not be concerned with kedusha shvius of a lulav. So now the Gemara goes back to explain originally we gave the basis of the machlokas, and then we said the kedusha shvius by etzim of hasako is totally in this machlokas tanaim, whether you need hanaso birushava. So the Gemara explains, what's it based on? Why would you think yes? Why would you think no? Why would you think something only has kedusha shvius if it's hanaso birushava, and you're only allowed to benefit in a way that's hanaso birushava from perus of shvius? And why would you think the other way? So my time with the Tanakama, why does the Tanakama hold that you're not allowed to use perus shvius for doing your laundry because it's not hanaso birushava? So the Amar Kra liachla v'lo mishav v'lo l'kvusa, because the pasuk says liachla. So liachla tells me that there are only certain types of benefit you're allowed to get from shvita produce, and therefore you're not allowed to use it to soak your flax or to wash your clothing. So my time with Rabbi Yossi. Okay, why does Rabbi Yossi think you are allowed to use it to soak your flax and wash your clothing? After all, the pasuk says liachla, because Amar Kra lachem. Pasuk also says lachem. Lachem sounds like you can use it for whatever you want. Lachem lechol tzorcheichem, for whatever your needs are. Vafilu mishra lekvusa, even if that means soaking your flax or laundering your clothing. I v'tanakama haksiv lachem. Doesn't the Tanakama admit that the pasuk says lachem? So it sounds like it's not only eating; you're allowed to get other benefits from it as well. So it says, well, no, ha'u lachem dum yodali achla. It's true that it says lachem, but the kinds of benefit you're allowed to get from it have to be similar to the benefit of achila. That misha naso birushava yatsu mishra kvusa shenasan acher birun. The Tanakama would say that la'achla tells me you're allowed to eat it. Lachem tells me you're allowed to do other things with it that are similar to eating. In what way are these other things similar to eating? That just like be eating, you're getting the hana'a at the time that you're destroying it, so too, any benefit you can get from Shemitah produce, you have to get the hana'a at the time that you are destroying it. Rabbi Yossi, aksiv li'achla. What is Rabbi Yossi, who says you could do whatever you want with it, you can get any hana'a from it? What does he do with the word li'achla? Li'achla seems very limiting. It seems like it's saying you're only allowed to eat from it. He says it is limiting. Li'achla tells me that I'm not allowed to use it for refuah purposes, but I'm still allowed to use it for laundry purposes. Where I draw the line of what I'm not allowed to use Shemitah produce for is to use it for refuah. Kedetanya li'achla v'lo l'melugma, that li'achla tells me not to use it for refuah. Atom alech v'lo l'melugma v'lo l'kvusa. How do I know that we're drawing the line at not using it for refuah? Maybe I should not be allowed to use it for laundry. So kishuam alechem, when it says lechem harei l'kvusa amur, it's telling me that I am allowed to use it for laundry. Hamani mekayim liachla, liachla v'lumelugma. So what does liachla teach me? Liachla teaches me that I'm not allowed to use it for refuah. So even Rabbi Yossi holds that there is a limitation in the pasuk, right? The pasuk is telling me you can't, it's not a free-for-all. You can't just use your Shemitah produce in whatever hana'a you want to get from it. It has to be a hana'a that... That is hanaso birushava. So why does he? So the Gemara is going to ask, well, wait a second. If he's going to exclude, meaning Rabbi Yossi would say it doesn't have to be hanaso birushava, but you can't use it for medicine. Well, why would he say that using it for laundry is okay, but not for medicine? Well, why is one stronger than the other? Mari isa l'rabos asakvusa ulo hotziasa malugma. Why would he choose to include kvusa and to exclude malugma from the types of hana'a that you're allowed to get from Shemitah produce? So he says, the Tana answers, Marba ani esa kvusa sheshava b'kal adam. Laundry is a universal need. Everyone needs to wash their clothing at some point, and therefore, in that sense, it's more similar to achila. Meaning, even Rabbi Yossi agrees that the fact that it says lachem li'achla teaches me that the kind of hana I have to get from it has to be similar to achila. He's just not as strict as the definition of the term similar to achila. Whereas the Tanakhama said similar to achila means hanaso birushava, Rabbi Yossi says no, similar to achila means something that's universally appreciated, that everybody would enjoy. As opposed to medication is only beneficial for sick people, it's actually harmful for people who are not sick. So not everybody is sick, and therefore that's not a universal benefit. So it's more mistaver that the Torah is being matir, a usage that's shava l'kol adam, that everybody can enjoy, and is asering a usage image that's not shavah l'kala adam. So that's the way Rabbi Yossi darshins the pasuk. So it turns out that there's machlokas tanaim when comes to etzim lahasaka, when you have firewood, do you have kedusha shviyas? That according to Rabbi Yossi, he would say yes, you do have kedusha shviyas because there's no requirement of hanaso biru shava. And according to the Tanakama, etzim lahasaka would not have kedusha shviyas because there is a requirement of hanaso biru shava. So says Gemara, okay, now that we know that very inyan of hanaso biru shava is machlokas tanaim, man tana lo hadetan rabbanu liyachlo vlo mlugma liyachlo vlo lezilov liyachlo vlo asos mena apiktavizin. Who's the Tana that identified three things that you're not allowed to do with the Shemitah produce? Number one, that you're not allowed to use it for medicine. Number two, you're not allowed to use it for ziluf. Ziluf means that sometimes they would take wine and sprinkle it around their house. They had dirt floors, so instead of using water to hold the dirt down, and then, you know, because if you have soft dirt and you walk around, it kicks up the dirt, you choke on it, so they'd have to like wet the floors every once in a while. They would use wine, and the reason they would use wine is because that has a pleasant aroma. So you're enjoying the smell of the wine. So you're not allowed to do that with wine of Shemitah because that's apparently something that not everybody enjoys. Not everyone enjoys that smell. Only people who are very pampered would use wine for that purpose. And the third thing we said is you're not allowed to use it to help you vomit. If a person needs to throw something up, so you're not allowed to use it as an act, as an apiktavizin. And the reason is because not everybody needs to vomit. So it's only someone who ate too much and has to, has to get rid of some food from his system. So those are things you're not allowed to do with Shemitah produce. So Kaman, which Tana is the author of that Braisa? Clearly, Rabbi Yossi. All three of those things are things that are not Shavah L'Kol Adam. Di Rabbanan, if the Rabbanan would have authored the Braisa, they would have given examples like Ha'ikonami Mishra Kavusa. They would have said, you know what else you're not allowed to do with Shemitah produce? Anything that's not Hanaso B'Roshava. They would have had a much more expansive restriction of what you're not allowed to do with Shemitah produce. They would have said that you're not only not allowed to get hana'a that is not shavah l'kol adam, you're also not allowed to get any sort of hana'a that's not hanaso b'roshava. The fact that the Braisa chose three examples, and all three examples happen to be things that are not shavah l'kol adam, tells you that whoever the author of this Braisa is thought that there's no din that hanaso b'roshava. There's no din that you need to have hanaso b'roshava. So therefore, this Braisa is following the shita of Rabbi Yossi. So now the Gemara brings a machlokas. When you're about the transferring of kedusha from perus shviyas onto money. So we know that if you buy shemitah produce with the money, that money now has kedusha shviyas. What if I don't buy shemitah produce with the money? I take my own money and my own perus shviyas, and I say let the kedusha be exchanged onto this money. That's called derechilu. Does the kedusha transfer in that way as well? So a new topic now, right? So says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, ain't shviyas mischal. Rabbi Lezer says Shviyas can only transfer when it's Derech Mekach, when one purchases Shemitah produce with money. But if you do it Derech Chilul, the way you'd be Mechal Hegdish, you take your own money and you say, let the Kedusha of this fruit be Mechulul on this money, so that doesn't work as far as transferring Kedusha Shviyas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, but Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says, Bein Derech Mekach, Bein Derech Chilul. That just like Hegdish can work, it can transfer Kedusha's Hegdish both through Mekach and through Derech Chilul, so Shemitah should be no different. It should also transfer both Derech Mekach and Derech Chilul. My time in Rabbi Lazar, why does Rabbi Lazar hold that Shviyas can only be Chal Derech Mekach, but Kedusha Shviyas does not transfer Derech Chilul? Because the Pasuk says, Bishnas HaYovel HaZos V'samuchle V'chisim Karu Mimkar. So we darshan Smuchim, that it's we darshan that Derech Mekach V'lo Derech Chilul, because it describes a sale, Sim Karu Mimkar. So Kedusha Shviyas is going to be Chal on money when you use that money to purchase Perus Shviyas, but not when you're only Mechalel Perus Shviyas on the money. Even though the Pasuk is not really about Shemitah, the Pasuk is about Yovel, but the Dinim of Yovel and the Dinim of Shemitah are the same. So therefore, by Shemitah we also have such a Din, even though the Pasuk happens to be about Yovel. That's what Rashi points out. So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yochanan And Rabbi Yochanan holds that Shvius is mechalal even derech chilul. My taima. Where does he get that from? Tichsiv ki yovel hi kodesh. Pasuk says yovel hi kodesh tiyalechem. So we darshan that yovel is similar to kodesh. Ma kodesh bein derech mekach bein derech chilul. Av Shvius bein derech mekach bein derech chilul. That just like by hegdish it can transfer both derech mekach and derech chilul. Kedusha transfers both derech mekach and derech chilul. When we're talking about hegdish, so too when it comes to shemitah produce, it could transfer either way, even derech chilul. Rabbi Yochanan, so now the Gemara is going to say what we normally do, right? If we have each Tana has a Pasuk that supports them, so we're going to have to ask, what does each one do with the other one's Pasuk, right? So Rabbi Yochanan, Hai Timkru Mimkar, Mayavadle, what does he do with the Pasuk Timkru Mimkar? After all, doesn't that Pasuk imply that it's only Derech Mekach and not Derech Chilul? So he'll tell you, Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, that we use that Pasuk to teach me what Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina taught, which is an important not statement of halacha, but an important statement of of agada, of the importance of observing the isser schora of shviyas. That Amar Rabbi Yosef Chanina bore kamakasha avaka shel shviyas. Look how serious the punishment is for someone who violates the isser schora of shviyas, which is only avaka shel shviyas. Avaka means the dust of shviyas, because it's not really the primary isser of shviyas. It's like the offshoot of the isser shviyas. The primary isser shviyas is working the karka, right? So a person who doesn't even do that, all he does is he does a little bit of schora with peiros of shvius. He didn't work his land, he kept off, he stopped, he didn't plow, he didn't plant, all he did was produce grew, so he decided to make some money off of it. That's only the avaka shel shvius. And look what happens to a person who does that. Adam nosim nosim v'peiros shvius. A person does business with peiros shvius, l'sof mochers metaltel v'skelov. In the end, he's going to be so poor, he's going to have to sell his metaltel and his kelim. It's counterintuitive, right? The Gemara in a few places gives us these counterintuitive predictions, right? The Gemara, for example, tells us in many places, you give tzedakah, you're going to be wealthy. You're going to become very rich if you give tzedakah. I would think the more you give away, the less you have. It's counterintuitive, right? If you give away, you're going to have a lot less. And over here, the Gemara is telling us, you stop doing business, and then you're going to be wealthy. But if you continue to do business, if you continue to make money by selling your produce, you're going to be so, not just poor, you're going to be so poor, you're going to have to sell everything in your house. The big nisayon of observing the laws of Shemitah is that you're shutting down your business for a year. You don't know where your money's going to come from. We're not somech al anes. The rest of Klal Yisrael shouldn't be somech al anes. We should provide for the farmers that are shutting down for the whole year. That's always been the tradition, that we try our best to support the farmers that are being mosa nefesh for this. But this is the promise of the Torah, that if you continue to do schora with perushvias, you can end up selling all your metaltan and your kelim. Shenemra b'shnasa yovel hazos toshuvu isha lechuzoso v'samach levi chisim kru mimkar lamisecha. So we darshan v'chisim kru, that if you go and you sell and you buy what I asked from you, so then mimkar, then you're going to have to sell your own metaltan. That's what he does with Rabbi Lazar's pasuk. Rabbi Lazar, I cried Rabbi Yochanan my avalei. And what does Rabbi Lazar do with Rabbi Yochanan's pasuk? What does he darshan from it? Because he clearly doesn't darshan that derech chilul works. So by lechaditanya, ki yovel hi kodesh, ma kodesh tofes asdam, ma vav shviyis tofes asdameha. He uses that pasuk just to tell me that just like when you poda a davar kadosh, the kedusha is chal on the money, so too when it comes to shmita, the kedusha is going to be chal on the money. Kedusha shviyis is going to be chal on the money that was used to purchase the shmita produce. So we see that there's such a din that kedusha shviyis can transfer onto money. So tani kavasi drablazav. Tani Kavasa Rabbi Yochanan have a brisa that supports each opinion. Tani Kavasa Rabbi Lazar, Shviyas Tofesis Estameha, Shviyas can be chal on money that you use to buy Shemitah produce with Shnemar Kiyovali Kodesh Tielechem, Ma Kodesh Tofes Estam Vasur, Av Shviyas Tofes Estameha Vasura. Just like Kodesh is Tofes the money takes on Kedusha as well, and it's Asur, so to buy Shemitah, the money takes on Kedusha, Shviyas, and is Asur. Well, Ima Kodesh Tofes Dama Vyotzi Lechulin, Av Shviyas Tofes Dama Vyotzi Lechulin, well, wait a second. second. If I have an item of Hegdish and I transfer it on money, the item of Hegdish is no longer Hegdish. Only the money is Hegdish. Should I say the same thing by Shemitah produce? I have fruits of Shemitah and I transfer it on money? Now the fruits are no longer Kadosh? So Tamalomer Tiyah. That's why the Pasuk says Tiyah, the Avasatei, that the original fruits are always Kadosh. So HaKetzad, how does it work? Lakach beperushvius basar. If you use perushvius to barter for meat, Eluvelim Mesparim Meshvius, the meat now has Kedusha Shvius, but if I then barter Lakach Babasar Dagim, I barter that meat for fish, Yatza Basar, the Basar no longer has Kedusha Shvius, V'nichnas Udagim, but the fish has Kedusha Shvius, Lakach Badagim Yayin, I barter that fish for wine, Yatza Udagim, V'nichnas Yayin, the fish no longer has Kedusha Shvius, but the wine does. Lakach B'yayin Shemen, I use the wine to barter for Shemen, Yatza Yayin, V'nichnas Shemen, the wine doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, the Shemen does. HaKetzad, Achron Achron, Nichnas B'Shvius, V'priyatzmo Asr, that whatever the last item that was traded for, that has Kedusha Shvius, and the original Perush Shvius have Kedusha Shvius. Everything in between does not have Kedusha Shvius. But how does it describe the Kedusha transferring? I mean, the Ketani, Lokach Lokach. It keeps describing it as an acquisition. Alma Derech Mekach in Derech Hillel. So that's a Brisa that tells you that it can only work Derech Mekach, it doesn't work Derech Hillel. And Tani Kavasi Rabbi Yochanan, a Brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan as well. Echot Shvius Vechon Meis Sheni Mischalin Al Behem Chayev Of Ben Chayim Ben Shchutin De Rav Meir. That Rav Meir holds that you could be mechallel kedusha shviyas on a behema chayev va'of, whether it's alive or whether it's shechted. V'cham Rav Nachman say no. Al shchut mischalin, al chayin ein mischalin. Only on shechted meat, not on live meat. Because if it's live meat, you might come to grow many flocks of animals from it, and then you're going to keep it around for a long time, and you're going to do business with it, and you're going to violate shmita that way with it. But the bottom line is the Brisa used the lashon of mischalin. So it sounds like even derech hillel, even if it's not derech mekach, you're just being mechallel in your own stuff, it would still work. Now Minchas Yitzchak points out a very important ha'ara, and then we'll close with this. Minchas Yitzchak points out a very important ha'ara, that when we talk about that you trade the Shemitah produce for money, and then that money goes to buy meat, and that meat to fish, so it's only the last thing and the first thing that have Kedusha, it's only the two bookends that have Kedusha Shvius, everything in the middle does not. That's because we're talking about where you use the meat to buy the fish and the fish to buy the whatever else. But let's say I sell Shemitah produce for money, and then whoever bought that Shemitah produce in turn turns around and sells that Shemitah produce again for money. And then whoever buys that turns around and sells that Shemitah produce again for money. All of the monies are going to have Kedusha Shvius because they were all the first degree. They were all directly exchanged for Shemitah produce. So they're all going to have Kedusha Shvius. So says Minchas Yitzchak, it's going to turn out, he said he's very concerned. In Eretz Yisrael, let's say, you have a farmer who sells his Shemitah wheat to a flour company, to a company that makes flour, that grinds the wheat that makes flour. So they paid the farmer. The farmer then puts the money in the bank. Then that company makes the flour. They sell that flour to a bakery. So the bakery pays them money, and the flour company puts the money in the bank, and then the bakery sells the baked goods to the customer. So the customer pays them money, and the baker puts that money in the bank. So for one batch of Shemitah produce, you have three batches of money that are all in the bank. Minchas Yitzchak says, I wonder if most of the money in the bank might be Shemitah money. You might have to worry that every time you're buying from the bank, you have money that has Kedusha Shvius. Then he's Mekel. He explains why he's not concerned that it's a rov, and he has a lot of stud mahakel. But it's an important ha'ara, that idea that it's only the first and the last, is if you know, you're going from A to B, and B to C, and C to D, but if you're going from A to B, and A to C, and A to D, and A to E, so then everything is going to have Kedusha Shvius. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the very bottom of the page. Tomorrow, everyone have a wonderful day.
Have a great day.